Hello, my name is Melissa Logson, and I serve as Associate Pastor for New Covenant Fellowship. I'm bringing you today's Ascension Sunday teaching entitled Relevant Ascension. I invite you to look at Jesus' ascension, not just as a historic moment or something that makes a difference in eternity, both of which I'll touch on, but also how it can make a difference in your life today. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are the King reigning on the throne above all thrones, that you are with us, empowering us to follow you, loving us, inviting us into relationship with God. Speak to us through the words today, that we may encounter you and your love for us in a new and fresh way. Amen. So why does ascension matter? In some ways, it feels like something that's been there, done that. It's in the past. It happened. Why do we need to talk about it today? But in other ways, it's everything. And even though it's everything, for me, I know I forget that. Jesus' ascension is everything. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God with all power. Jesus is in his glorified body that we will one day have. Jesus is preparing a place for us to one day dwell with God forever. Jesus is holding the church in his hands, praying for us. Jesus is working towards the renewed earth and heaven for us, with all justice, peace, healing, life. Jesus is everything for us. And somehow, in the busyness of every day, I know for me, I forget this. How Jesus' ascension can make a difference for how I engage with the people around me and the circumstances I face. What Jesus started over 2,000 years ago is frankly amazing. Jesus modeled how we, the people of God, could live an intimate relationship with God, basking in God's love for us. And from that place, we could in turn let our relationships be propelled and permeated with love, caring for those vulnerable in society to make sure there is fairness, justice, safety, provision. And what seemed impossible at any given point throughout time is possible with God. The possibilities within God's kingdom supersedes any oppressive powers. Jesus, seated on his throne, is reigning with all power and love. In Ephesians 1, 20 and 21, we read, God's power was at work in Christ when God raised him from the dead and set him at God's right side in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority and power and angelic power, any power that might be named, not only now, but in the future. Jesus is seated on the throne. All the hope wrapped up in Jesus' ascension, no doubt, was on the lips and in the minds of Moses and Elijah. You know that moment we refer to as Jesus' transfiguration? In Luke 9, 29 through 31, it's recorded, as Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes flashed white like lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with him. They were clothed with heavenly splendor, and spoke about Jesus' departure, which he would achieve in Jerusalem. It's what Jesus thought of when he turned to Jerusalem. In Luke 9:51, we read, as the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. It's what Jesus thought about when he made his triumphant entry that we celebrate on Palm Sunday. Jesus' ascension means that Jesus is king over all. And we are part of that kingdom. So no matter what isn't right in our earthly citizenship, we have a heavenly citizenship full of justice and love. And this is the hope I have in Jesus' ascension. Jesus is the Lord of all, the King of all, is seated on the throne above all thrones, is making all things right, is working for the renewal of all things. Jesus is preparing a place for us to dwell with God. Leading up to this moment of Jesus' ascension, the disciples had been following Jesus, enjoying hearing Jesus say how he had come to declare God's kingdom justice for all. Jesus was healing people and speaking out against the corruption and calling people to right living, to a right way of interacting with each other and living aligned with God's way, God's kingdom. Jesus was bringing hope and freedom, salvation to the people. So every time Jesus tried to talk about the coming of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, they just couldn't conceive the idea. Even after Jesus had been resurrected, they continued to ask questions based on their mindset. And as recorded in Acts 1, 3 through 8, we read, "After his suffering, he showed them that he was alive in many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking to them about God's kingdom. While they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He said, 'This is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but in only a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, 'Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now?' Jesus replied, 'It isn't for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" And then it happened. Just like that, Jesus was gone, and the disciples finally got it. Even though there's still a time of waiting, they finally realize that something big is happening. At the end of Luke 24:50-53, we read, "As Jesus' ascension, his followers were overwhelmed with joy. They spent their time continuously in the temple praising God." At this moment, we are now at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, but only at the beginning of what Jesus plans to see unfold through God's people on earth. Jesus' ascension is the launching pad moment for the rest of what we find recorded in the New Testament and the continuing unfolding story we are living out as followers of Jesus today. So, how is the ascension relevant? Why does it matter to me? When Jesus commissioned his followers to do what he modeled, he knew they would need help. With his ascension, Jesus moved into a position to help his followers. And that includes us. Jesus had told his followers all the ways him leaving them would benefit them. For example, in John 14, Jesus talks about preparing a place for them to dwell with God. Jesus talks about sending a companion, the Spirit, as a helper. Jesus talks about the ways that they will be able to do greater works than he had done because of the Spirit's help. We, like his followers then, are called and empowered to continue to be witnesses to all of God's goodness. One story that came to mind as I was thinking about this teaching is a time when my husband and I were living up in Peoria. We were in an apartment complex and the city was big compared to here, maybe a little bit bigger than Champaign-Urbana. it was a new place for us. We felt called there to extend God's love to the people in that city. But it seemed too big. And what we felt like God nudged us was to minister to our neighbors relationally. So we started throwing parties. Like, we'd get a fire going and have a s'more night, or we'd throw a Halloween costume party. We'd grill out with neighbors. And we felt called to personally build relationships with them. You know, Steve shared part of that story in one of his recent teachings. And for me, it was spending time having coffee or a drink with a neighbor while their kids played outside, or helping tend the garden, or visiting one of them when they were in jail. Just being there. One Easter, we felt really led, not just Steve and I, but also a group of people from our church, to bless the staff that worked there by providing the materials and stuffing Easter eggs, goodie bags, with an Easter greeting, but not to promote our church, but to say that it was from the staff of that apartment complex. And they were floored that we were willing to do that, because at first they were really resistant. They were like, no, we can't have religious material being passed out. And we're like, no, we don't want to do that. We just want to bless you. We want to support you guys. And they couldn't fathom that kind of love and service and sacrifice, that we were willing to do that for them. And it helped build rapport with the residents, with the office staff, by providing that gift to the residents. In all those small everyday ways of loving our neighbors in our apartment complex, we felt like each nudge from the Spirit would lead us. Each story of how Jesus modeled being part of community, being part of relationships, being present with people, it propelled us forward into those relationships. You know, we didn't gain one person to the church that we were there to start. However, I know for a fact that dozens upon dozens of neighbors felt God's love, several of which started to follow Jesus or follow Jesus again, to go to churches or go back to the churches that their families have been part of. And in so many small and big ways, their lives were impacted. And it's because we were willing to continue forward with the commission, following the path that Jesus had modeled and loving the people right there in front of us. All of us were called to live faithfully, following Jesus's radical way of love. No matter what's going on around us today, political circumstances, difficult personal and global circumstances, we are called as followers to faithfully follow what Jesus modeled in the midst of it all. And in the midst of it all, there's hope. And with Jesus, we are vessels of that hope. So, wrapping it all up, I want to leave you with one more image. This image of Jesus at the beginning of the Revelation of Jesus, chapter 1. Jesus reigning with in all glory and all power, with all love, empowering us with the Spirit, holding the church in his hands. Jesus has not left us alone or powerless. If you read the pastor's note I sent out on Tuesday and posted the blog on our website, it's called A Kindred Spirit. And it's about Ann Kimmel. She's someone that a friend introduced me to. We've never met, but I've met her through her books. And she tried in her life to follow Jesus and extend Jesus's love to the people around her as well. And so I really have delighted in her writing. And so I'd like to share a little bit of her writing with you in closing. This is from the book, I'm Out to Change My World. And there are a collection of her books that I brought in. They're down the Welcome Center if you want to check them out. They'll be there for a few weeks. Here's what Anne says. Though I walk through darkest valley, God, I know that to change my world, there are going to be some dark valleys. But you've seen me through the dark valleys yesterday. Though the sky be cold and gray. Do you like cold gray skies? I don't. But there'll be some for me tomorrow. There's one for me today. But God and I, we've made it through the cold gray skies yesterday. We'll make it tomorrow. Though I climb the steepest mountain. Do you know that dreams are made of mountains? God, now that I've just conquered a mountain, do I have to climb another one? And don't you know that you've got to keep climbing mountains to change your world? But like a lamb who needs a shepherd by his side, I'll always stay. Give up the dreams in my world? Never, not ever. God and I and love, we're out to change the world. God and I and love. This prayer I'm about to pray is from the Gelation Sacramentary. It goes, Lord Jesus, we remember how you returned to your Father on the first Ascension Day. Although we cannot see you with our eyes, we know that you are still with us, as you promised always to be. We thank you for being our constant friend. Help us to remember that you are near and that you will never fail us. Help us to come to you when we are frightened or disappointed. And may we remember to tell you about our joys as well as our troubles. Amen.